DSM.
DSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
Welcome back. Hour number two of the program here on Friday morning. Wet, windy, but somewhat warm. It's in the mid-50s out there, but I'm watching the wind blow around and looks like the trees are moving pretty good. Steady. It's a steady wind. It's not just gust. It's a steady wind. So keep that in mind if you're heading out the door. In the next hour, in the 8 o'clock hour, we'll be joined by Danny October. She's going to join us to talk about the Nathaniel Ingersoll Tavern in Danvers, this building that played an important role in the Salem witch trials, a building that dates all the way back to 1670, on the verge of being demolished, and she's leading an effort to try to save it. So we'll talk with her about that coming up in the next hour. But before we went to the news, I mentioned Tom Brady was on a podcast, and in that podcast, he was asked, you know, if an NFL team called you and said, we need quarterback help, would you be opposed to unretiring? And he said he would not be opposed to it. You know, obviously, before, when he was going through the retired, unretired phase, Giselle had a big role in that. And now that they're no longer together, well, I guess if he wants to play, he can play. Now, he did say that his quest to become an NFL owner might play a role in this. But as Roger Goodell said, he was asked about this recently, about why it's taking so long for Tom Brady to be approved as an owner, a part owner of the Las Vegas Raiders. And Goodell said these things just take time. So if it's going to take time, maybe he can play in the meantime. Or maybe he just gives up that idea to go play a couple more seasons, and then he can start the process all over again afterwards. I get wanting to be an NFL owner, but I don't think Tom Brady realizes that he's setting himself up for a situation where many of his jobs that he has planned, well, I shouldn't say many of his jobs, but his future plans will be affected by that. How can you be an owner of the team and be a broadcaster? Would you consider you're getting fair analysis from the guy that owns one of the teams in the NFL? So I get that he wants to do it, and he should be able to if he wants to, but I think, you know, there's some questions there, some biases that people would assume, some conflicts of interest. But if he wants to come, I mean, I don't think Fox would be happy with that. CBS. No, Fox. Fox is the one that he signed the deal for, right? Because he's, yeah. So he's, I don't think they would be happy with him deciding, well, I'm going to play again. So, you know, all that money that you're promising me, hold off on that. But now the question becomes, I want you to take off your nostalgia cap and put on your football fan cap. Put on your rational thinking football fan cap. Tom Brady says he'd be willing to unretire. Do you want the Patriots to call him to see if he's interested in coming and playing for a couple of years while their rookie that they draft in the upcoming draft? Or maybe it changes their plan altogether and they don't take a quarterback. But I think you've got to at this point. You don't ever want to have a number three pick again. So would you want him to come back and and be there. I don't think he would come back in a backup role to mentor. I think he would want to play. But would you be fine with him being Brett Favre while Aaron Rodgers was sitting on the bench? Or would you rather just say, you know what, that time has passed. Let's draft the kid, throw him out there, and see what happens. 508-996-0500, but it's an exciting possibility. And I don't have any qualms at all about if Tom Brady wanted to play. I think he would do an excellent job. He would certainly be better than a rookie quarterback full of unknowns, but I say that, and then you could have a rookie quarterback that comes in right away and has a strong season. So what do I know? I covered the team for 20 years, but I would never consider myself an expert on anything football. I would defer to a lot of people on that. So don't take anything that I'm saying as solid analysis. 508-996-0500. I also said that we would talk some grilled cheese because, as Phil mentioned, it is National Grilled Cheese Day. Grilled cheese is one of those sandwiches that people have strong attachments to and like to have them made a certain way. As someone who cooked grilled cheeses every day for a number of years, you would hear all the different possible variations of it, what people wanted inside of it, how long they wanted you to cook it. There was one guy that would come in and order a grilled cheese. He wanted one side cooked to the point that it looked like it was burnt, and then he wanted the other side lightly cooked, lightly grilled. Like, he didn't even want it to get that brown. And I could never figure out what the appeal was of one side is well done, the other side is lightly done. I did. That's how he wanted it. That's what I did. But a grilled cheese, when you think about it, is kind of the perfect sandwich because you can eat it on its own with just bread and cheese. You don't even need the same ingredients to grill it. Sometimes you might want to take a little butter, put some butter on the bread. I mean, that's the right way to do it. You take the bread, you spread the butter on the bread, put the bread down, put the cheese on top of it. That's the way that you're supposed to do it. That's the best way to do it. Some people decide to do it a different way. They put the butter in the pan, move it around, melt it, then put the bread in. Still others use cooking spray. When I was working for the company I worked at that did corporate cooking, that was how they told you to make a grilled cheese. Spray it with spray. Spray the bread. Spray the other piece of bread. Put it on the grill. It just doesn't work. But that's how some people prefer it. But then the real question comes, what do you put in the grilled cheese? It's good enough on its own, but a grilled cheese and tomato, fantastic. Grilled ham, cheese, and tomato, amazing. Grilled cheese and bacon, fantastic. Grilled cheese, bacon, and tomato, outstanding. You can put turkey in it. And see, that's the thing, is eventually a grilled cheese becomes a melt. If you put turkey in it, you know, ham and cheese gets away with it. The grilled ham and cheese is a real thing. So you can call it a grilled ham and cheese, but you put turkey in it, it's not a grilled turkey and cheese, it's a turkey melt. You know, nobody says, I'll have a grilled cheese with tuna. They say, I'll have a tuna melt. Also underrated, nobody ever thinks of it, the chicken salad melt. Duh. So, I don't know. It's so versatile, so delicious, so easy, so comforting, and so deserving of being celebrated today. But are you going to eat a grilled cheese the way I eat a grilled cheese? A lot of folks like to dip it in tomato soup. I do too. That's good. But if I'm eating a grilled cheese, I'm taking that sandwich and I'm taking some ketchup, and I'm putting the ketchup all over the top of the grilled cheese. I know what you're saying. Well, Tim, can't you just dip it in ketchup? I could, but it's not the same. You take the sandwich, you put the ketchup on top, you pick it up and you eat it. I've been doing it since I was 3 or 4 years old, going to the Friendlies down the street from where I lived. Where I would get upset if they didn't put the little American flag toothpick in my sandwich. And I would cover it with ketchup and eat it like that. And I still do it, you know, 40-something years later. Try it. Try it that way and see if you don't become a convert to the ketchup-topped grilled cheese. All right, 508-996-0500. Also, app chat and open line voicemails on the WBSM app. The Tom Brady story, I'm definitely excited to see where that goes. There's a story, too, that that WCVB had this morning. And I think it's getting concerning the way that these shoplifting incidents are happening more and more frequently, but also with the brazenness in which they're taking place. Because thieves know that the people who work at these stores, you know, Shauneen called in about this a few weeks ago, where she said she's seen it happen while she's in the stores. That the thieves know that these people are stealing. I'm sorry, the thieves know that these people that work in the store aren't going to stop them from stealing because they've been told not to. They've been told not to get involved. They've been told to mark it down as a loss and they'll file an insurance claim. They don't have police officers in the store. You can't detain someone. So they, knowing all this, these thieves are just walking into these Boston boutiques, like we're talking Newberry Street boutiques, expensive stuff. At noon on Thursday, a woman distracted one of the store employees and brought her to the back of the store while two men stole more than $1,600 worth of merchandise from the front of the store. The person who was working in the shop that was distracted was 19 years old. So what's a 19-year-old going to do when three people come in deciding that they're gonna steal? And then the woman threatened to use pepper spray on her if she followed them. I know folks who have worked in convenience stores. And they were told by management, listen, if somebody comes in and has a weapon, or even doesn't have a weapon, but if somebody comes in and robs the place, just give them the money. Just give them what they want because it's not worth your life. Now, in the old days, they might say, protect the, you know, you got to protect this cash draw with your life. And certainly if somebody is the owner of a store, they'll feel a little bit differently about it. But if you are just a minimum wage employee, working the counter at a Cumberland Farms or a 7-Eleven overnight, just trying to make some money, maybe support yourself to go to school during the day, is it really worth your life to stop the thief from getting $300 out of the cash register? So a lot of store employees feel the same way. Why am I going to go stop somebody from walking out of the store? Even if the store hasn't told them, just let them go. Why are they going to stop and risk getting pepper sprayed? Or worse. And the shoplifters, the thieves, know this. And they take advantage of it. Those weren't the only incidents that were happening. Apparently, there's been a lot of shoplifting happening in Boston stores. On Monday, they made multiple arrests, Boston police did, where they went to Newbury Street on Monday for a larceny in progress. Two suspects took six items before getting into a Navy Jeep and driving toward Mass Ave. And the two people were arrested during a traffic stop. Officers say they found multiple trash bags filled with clothes in the car, including all but one item taken from the store that had called in the report. And they found more than 200 more items from Nike, Target, and Old Navy, all with tags attached and no receipts. A pair of wire cutters was also in one of the suspects' pockets. Then about an hour later, a person was seen removing sunglasses from his pants as an officer announced Boston police in the Sunglass Hut of Faneuil Hall. There's been 16 pairs of Versace sunglasses stolen from that Sunglass Hut between December and April. Because they know they can get away with it. Now, I'm not advocating to say, well, I guess store employees need to start putting their lives on the line. That's not what I'm saying at all. But there's got to be something done. Do stores need to bring back security guards? You know, as store security guards might have been, you know, something that went away due to COVID, positions that couldn't get filled. But I seem to remember them vanishing before that. Because if there isn't an active shoplifting incident, you're just paying a person to stand there. And can't that person be replaced with cameras and those little electronic tags that beep when you leave the store? Apparently not. By the way, I once bought a pair of sneakers that had one of those security devices left on it, and I didn't realize it. You know, they wrapped it, they closed the box, they put it into the bag. I took the bag home. I didn't wear the sneakers for a couple of days because it was raining and I didn't want to go out in new sneakers in the rain. So when the sky cleared up, I was like, all right, going to wear my new kicks now. And when I opened up the box, the security thing was still on them. And I was like, oh man, how do I get that off? And I couldn't get it off. I said, well, I'm going to have to drive all the way back to Rentham to the Nike outlet to have them remove it. And friend was like, no, we'll get it off. We're banging it with a hammer, all that kind of stuff. Eventually we did get it off, but what a pain. Make sure that they take those things off before you leave the store. I don't know why it didn't go off. They must have deactivated it, but not removed it. 508-996-0500. We'll take a break here and be back in a few moments. And before we go into the newsroom and get all the headlines from Phil Devitt, I want everybody to take a few moments today to find something that really, really makes you laugh. Find something that makes you laugh in a way that that laugh is infectious and makes other people around you laugh as well. And do that in honor of Gilbert Gottfried, who passed away 2 years ago today. He died of myotonic dystrophy type 2. He had been sick for a while and nobody really knew it except those really close to him. But a comic genius, somebody who is so much more than just a shrill voice, and somebody who left behind a great legacy and great kids. His daughter is winning all kinds of awards for a documentary film she made for him, made about him. And I think she's only like 16 years old. So just do something in honor of Gilbert today. And if you want to make a donation, the University of Rochester's Department of Neurology is searching for a cure.
From activity
and you can go to rochester.edu to make a donation. Right now, though, let's go into the newsroom and get all of the headlines of the day from Phil Devitt.
From the WBSM Newsroom. This is WBSM News.
Vice President Kamala Harris is headed to Arizona today after the state Supreme Court upheld a near total ban on abortions that was put in place 160 years ago. She'll be in Tucson for an event focusing on abortion and the Biden administration's efforts to keep abortion legal. Legal experts acknowledge O.J. Simpson's double murder acquittal was in large part due to attorney Johnny Cochran's skilled defense. He convinced the jury of his innocence, concluding the case with his famous line, "If it doesn't fit, you must acquit." This was in reference to Simpson appearing unable to fit a pair of bloody leather gloves found at the murder scene in the courtroom. Simpson didn't have any other run-ins with the law until 2008. An updated report on the severe storms that tore across the state of Mississippi earlier this week now finds at least two people were killed and six others injured. That from the Mississippi Emergency Management Agency, which also reported over 170 homes and businesses damaged or destroyed across multiple counties. House Speaker Mike Johnson set to make an appearance alongside Donald Trump at Mar-a-Lago. Reports say the two will hold a news conference today focused on election integrity. The former president has repeatedly claimed the 2020 election was rigged against him. The event comes as Johnson faces threats from some conservative Republicans to oust him as speaker if he moves forward with Ukraine funding. The New York City Council is approving a bill that requires the FDNY to provide EMS workers with bulletproof vests. Legislation passed Thursday by the City Council also includes special training for EMTs in response to an increase in attacks against first responders. There's no evidence that COVID vaccines cause fatal heart attacks or other heart issues in young people, according to the Centers for Disease Control. When the mRNA vaccines developed by Pfizer and Moderna were distributed starting in 2020, anti-vax groups were quick to blame them for fatal heart issues in young athletes. A report out Thursday looked at 1,300 deaths of vaccinated people ages 16 to 30 in Oregon who died of heart conditions or unknown causes in 2021 and 2022. And today is a day for a special sandwich, America's favorite sandwich. Bree Tennis with more.
Hands down, Americans love a good grilled cheese. But is there really a bad one? Ooey gooey cheese on grilled bread makes your meal cozy, nostalgic, and good. Now some facts. Pepperidge Farm did a study, and they say the perfect grilled cheese is made with American, but most Americans prefer cheddar. About 300 calories per sandwich, and that's good because we eat about 36 per person every year. I'm Bree Tennis.
WBSM Sports.
The Boston Red Sox hit a third straight loss to Baltimore on Thursday, 9-4, home to play the Los Angeles Angels tonight at 7:10. Across town, the Celtics will play the Charlotte Hornets at TD Garden after a loss to the New York Knicks last night, and the Bruins visit the Pittsburgh Penguins on Saturday.
Now, your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
We have a chance for some thunderstorm activity. Temperature in the mid-50s. Windy conditions out there. Gusty winds up to 50 miles per hour as we head into the afternoon. Temperature is climbing into the upper 50s. Potential for thunderstorms. And the wind will remain quite strong, gusting up to 50 miles per hour. Overnight, partly cloudy, breezy. Tomorrow, partial sunshine with breezy conditions. From the ABC 6 Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Ceci Del Carmen on New Bedford News Talk Station 1420 WBSM.
I'm Phil Devitt for WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's News Talk Station WBSM and get all of our content and breaking news alerts with the WBSM app.
Oh,
team toward the end of the Van Hagar era, so not a lot of people remember that song or are fans of that song, but that was the big single off Balance, the last album they did with Sammy Hagar. And then came the Gary Cherone era, which is much maligned, but I think, you know, still has its merits. 508-996-0500. Let's go to the phones. Good morning, Lamone. How you doing?
What's shaking, Playboy?
How you been?
I'm living, I guess. So, you know, like when I used to wrestle, I used to professionally wrestle. I used to, you know, everybody likes to be nice and like to be liked. But I took pride in being hated. I liked being the heel. And so when it's like, I remember people throw full diapers at me in the middle of the ring. And I flip off little kids around the ring and stuff like that. It was fun. And I used to have the crowds go. I remember like in Puerto Rico, I got fat a couple times. I slid a couple times. I'll show you whenever I can see. I was super, a couple of slices went on me, but I'm still alive. But I used to have everybody screaming. Like I used to say, free OJ, free OJ. And I would see that and everybody has people going wild, screaming that in stadium. It was so much fun back in those days. And so, yeah. So,
I mean, I can imagine that was instant heat, you know, saying free OJ.
Burning heat. That was back before everybody actually thought he was guilty. You know what I mean? So that was the majority of that time. But afterwards, when they said free OJ, he was in jail. So.
I always wanted, when I was doing ring announcing, I always wanted them to let me turn heel. And the Brickhouse Baker who ran the company, he was like, you can't have a heel ring announcer. Like, if you have a heel ring announcer, it takes away any heat of whoever's coming out, you know, for the match. So you can't have a heel ring announcer. And I was like, well, couldn't you, though? And then the more I thought about it, I was like, no, he's absolutely right.
Jesse Ventura, Bobby the Brain Heenan.
No, well, that's commentary. You can be a heel commentator. I was the ring announcer in the middle of the ring.
But still, you could be a hater. Like I said, you could be a hater. So I don't like you because your teeth are bad or something like that. You could have excuses for hating.
If I went out there and they booed me every time, you wouldn't be able to hear what I was saying. So it just, you know, it just, he was totally right. Plus, I got my chance to get involved. I ended up getting beat down a few times by the heel champion. So,
well, next time we'll take them together. Like I said, we'll be like Ebony and Ivory. Yeah. So we'll have fun like that. So, like I said, I saw OJ like maybe like 8 days before he died. Got a couple things autographed. I can't say this is the last, it could possibly be his last autograph he's given. So I've got like 72, it's, you know, a 71, his rookie card. And you know how they have, there's like, they had like the big, like little posters they had that used to come out around the same time, the posters and stickers. I'd say those both all through those autographs by him also. And so, you know, that might be kind of nice. And I just
how did he look when you saw him?
He looked like he was on death's door. Looked like he was death's door. And it was like 2 weeks beforehand, he was out there golfing and everything. So it's like, you know, when it takes a bad turn. You know, I told you like this before, back in 1990. I was talking to this one chick that was, when it was Nicole Simpson. Her and Nicole were real good friends, and they were together when she met OJ. And so, and this back in 90, before all this stuff went down in 94 and whatnot. So I told you some things that she told me about that. But since you asked me, I'll share it with everyone. All right, so she said that Nicole went home and played a little bit of witchcraft and asked for OJ. You ask the devil for something, you get what you get asked for, but it won't be what you want. So that's just, again, that's a perfect thing to think that might be the reason why things went down the way they did. I'm not saying that he did it, not that I represent, but there's a guy named Rogers that might have been the one that killed her. And he bragged about it, and he had a couple of pins that he stole from her. And Elliot Rogers, I think, I don't know if that's the name, but...
Don't drop anybody's names, because we don't want to get in trouble.
Oh, you're not going to get in trouble. He talked about his parents, his mother and brother and sisters. Us talked about him being the guy. So, you know, and just if you go look it up, you know, it couldn't hurt to find out. And this dude, he's kind of like on that Israel Keys kind of thing. You know, Israel Keys, who he was, the serial killer from up in Alaska.
No, I'm not familiar.
Oh, dude. He came down. He was all over. He used to leave boxes, you know, like murder boxes all around. He'd bury them in the desert and different places across the country. And he would come to town and he'd take and pick somebody up and kill him and whatnot. And he was out here, on Boulder Highway. And he was buying something to go with. And so there was this girl, like 14, 15 year old girl. He wouldn't try to grab this chick. And these two Mexican guys jumped him and beat him. I saw them beating his behind. And then, like I said, and then the cops were pulling, like they're about to pull inside the parking lot. And they pulled in instead of pulling right there, but they took a left instead of taking the right. So they would kill him. They should have killed him. Like I said, this is when he came down after he left with the girl's credit card and stuff like that, the one that he had. Well, you don't know who she is. Oh, God. You need Israel Keys, serial killer. Very frightening with the things he did. He took this girl and from up in Alaska, and he took him from the little coffee hut, whatever the place was. He took her and he had her and tied her up and whatnot. They actually killed her. He used wires to keep her eyes open and had her hold a newspaper and stuff like that while she was dead. And so they're trying to find this chick, and he's gone. He came back to the States and back down to lower states and doing what he was doing.
Well,
Israel Keys, check that.
I'll have to look into it. I got to hold you there, Lamone. I got to take a break, but thank you for the call.
Have a great weekend.
You as well.
Have a wonderful weekend. How's the weather out there?
It's rainy and windy right now.
Oh, we're expecting 82 degrees today.
All right. It's a dry heat, though. Enjoy your enjoy your day.
It's not dry. It's not dry yet, but it'll get there.
All right.
God bless everybody in New Bedford. Take a light. Play on.
All right. Have a good weekend.
God bless you. Ciao.
That is Lamone in Las Vegas. All right. We got to take a break. We'll be back in a few moments. 508-996-0500. Just watching that wind blow outside, so keep that in mind. If you're heading out the door, you're going to want a rain jacket or a hat or something, because I don't know if an umbrella is the right idea today. Looks like that thing's going to flip over inside out on you. So I had mentioned earlier, I'll bring this up again in case anybody wants to see it and you haven't seen it yet, WBSM.com and on the WBSM app, I have an article where some folks that have gone over to see The Walking Dead when it was filming in Taunton over the last few days, they were nice enough to share some photos and videos for those who didn't get a chance to get over there and see it, including someone who got a chance to actually meet and pose for a photo with Jeffrey Dean Morgan, Negan himself, but then got mad because I referred to him in the story as Morgan. She's like, he's not Morgan, he's Negan. I think she thought that I was calling him the character Morgan, but I was referring to him by his last name. And then when somebody pointed that out, she got mad and said, well, he should have used his full name. But I did on first mention in the story. It's not an uncommon practice to then refer to somebody by only their last name. Anyway, not going to get into semantical arguments, but you can see those photos and videos for yourself. And certainly, as I was saying earlier, it's nice to see these productions coming in. And it's nice to see the neighborhood welcoming them. I think it came together kind of quickly, though, because normally we get tipped off to some of that stuff. Normally somebody will reach out to us and say, hey, I've heard that The Walking Dead is looking to come and film in Taunton, but we didn't hear about it until they'd already put up a notice around the neighborhood that they would be there. Which I can understand with a show and a franchise like that. I mean, this is obviously one of the spinoffs, Dead City. But with a show and a franchise like that, I can see why they need to kind of keep things under wraps. Two of the most popular characters from that Walking Dead universe coming to town. If they had let this build up for weeks. You know, the Mass Film Office, too, they have a website where they tell you about all the things that are filming and where they're expected to film. So if you want a celebrity watch, it's not a bad idea to keep checking that site and seeing what's there. Some folks, that's how they like to spend their time. They like to show up at these things and try to meet the stars, and they'll hang out for hours waiting for a chance to say hello and maybe get an autograph, get a photo. I don't know. I try not to bother people. If I see they're taking photos with a bunch of other people, maybe I might pop over and be like, hey, can I grab a quickie? Can I get a selfie with you real quick? But I don't go up to somebody while they're eating or while they're trying to work and say, oh, hey. Try to just treat them as people. But I think also the nature of my work for many years keeps me from getting starry-eyed. When you're in the locker room standing next to Tom Brady or, you know, standing there in the locker room with Kevin Garnett and Paul Pierce, you have to have a certain level of professionalism. So that just kind of carries through. I did geek out a few times interviewing Michael Jordan, meeting Larry Bird, meeting Bill Russell. But for the most part, I was, you know, professional. I don't think they realized I was geeking out. It was kind of something that was, I was fanboying on the inside. But some folks just want to go and have that experience. And I can tell you this from the conventions that I've worked with some of the Walking Dead actors. They are very appreciative of the fans. And they will definitely give time back when they can. So if you didn't get to meet Negan or Maggie over the last couple of days while you were standing out there, just know it was probably their schedule that prevented them from coming over and saying hi. 508-996-0500. Let me take my final break of this hour. We'll be back in a few moments. Baseline in that song. I've got to take a break here for the news coming up. When we come back on the other side, we'll be joined by Danny October. We're going to be talking about the Ingersoll Tavern in Danvers and the attempts to save it. It's on the verge of being torn down. This building that played a role in the Salem witch trials of 1692. So we're talking about something that's been around since 1692.